Hello and welcome to the Up North Halo podcast. I am the host, Nicholas Eggdorf, and after a short hiatus, I am back to recording again. I just came back from the coast on Sunday, spent some time with the boys, golfed a little bit in the pouring rain, standard Vancouver weather for April. It's not like it's spring and the sun should be out or anything like that, but Canadian weather is Canadian weather and it's going to do whatever it wants to do, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, had a good trip with the guys, had a couple drinks, had some golf. That was fun. Shout out Vinny, Quady, and Hayden, the boys. So that was a great trip. I will probably go down once again before I go back to school for the late spring, early summer. Hopefully I'm going to try to do something for early May, but we'll see what happens. But I did not get a chance to watch the Blue Jays series that the Angels were in, and that's because of blackout restrictions. Thank you, Rob Manfred. Anyways, yeah, I'll be previewing the last two series the Angels have played because they played while I was on my trip and while I was at work, and I couldn't get an episode together for Monday, so I figured I'd just wait until this time to record again. And we also had the National series that just wrapped up on Wednesday. This episode will probably be going live either Thursday night when I'm recording this or Friday morning, depending on how long editing takes. We'll cross that bridge when it comes to it, I guess. But the Angels had a split series on the homestand. They went 1-3 with the Blue Jays and 2-3 with the Nationals. I'll be starting with the home opener today. And it was a very interesting game. It wasn't a great game, to be honest. It was a well-pitched game, though, for the most part. Went up against Chris Bassitt, who ended up going 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, and he allowed 3 runs, but only 2 of them were earned, 5 Ks and 5 walks. But Chris Bassitt, noted Angel killer, really sucks that he pitched in this series, because if we would have missed him, that would have been great, and we probably could have taken this series. But we also probably could have taken it for a different reason, and I'll get into that later. But we also had a Mike Trout home run in the first inning, and that would score Taylor Ward as well, who's been scoring a lot of runs, and he's also had a really solid season. So far, he has been one of the best hitters in this lineup, and that's not hyperbole to say that. He's really had a strong start to the season, and I hope he can continue it. And being in left field, it's nice to have him not worried about that wall. And I don't think he's been worried about that wall, because even in that Mariners series, he made that really nice catch down the line. He had a couple of those in this series where he was running into foul territory. There was one play where he covered like 122 feet. I think it might have even been in this game. But he was just chugging along to get to that ball. And he's been super fun to watch. And Mike Trout, who hit the home run, typical Mike Trout, hits a home run, and the Angels lose because of the bullpen. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I did want to start with Mr. Patrick Sandoval, who had another good game. He has been one of the most reliable starters in this rotation for a couple of years now, and he's put up another good start. I am still really happy I took the under on his ERA this year. I think he's going to just light it up. But he ended up going 6 innings with 6 hits, 1 earned run allowed, 2 Ks, which is a little bit interesting, and a walk as well. He didn't strike many guys out. I mean, I'm not super concerned about that, but I think he'll find some more swing and miss as the season goes on. I think he'll catch a groove and then get right into the swing of things. And then after that, the bullpen came in, and Matt Moore and Jimmy Herget. This was the blow-up inning, and I don't really want to go too in-depth of this. This was the 7th inning, and there ends up with 2 runners on for Bo Bichette, and he hits the go-ahead 3-run home run, and that would be it for the scoring. Springer and Espinal score, but, I mean, as a Canadian, I do love watching the Blue Jays, and Bichette is one of my favorite players, so this was a very hot and cold moment. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Angels over the Blue Jays, but just seeing someone you enjoy watching beat your team is really gut-wrenching. Like, it just makes you sick. And, not fun to see him trot around the bases. And sure enough, he'd get to do it tomorrow as well. So, yeah, that was pretty much all there is for the game. Nothing insane happened other than the bullpen makes a opening day appearance after Mike Trout hits a home run. What else is new? But we'll move on to something a little bit more positive, and that would be game two, where the Angels won 9-5. Solid day for the bats, and this is where the long ball really started to come into play for both teams. Just absolutely wild. Like, even on the Blue Jays side, Springer, Chapman, Bichette all had home runs, and, you know, went up against Jose Berrios as well, who ended up going four innings with six hits, six runs, four of them earned, five Ks and a walk. Not a good start for him. He's been really struggling since he's joined the Jays, which is pretty unfortunate for them. But the bullpen for them didn't do too great either. But this Angels team really can hit, and they found that out the hard way with a double from Renfro and Otani, home run from Renfro. This would be the start of a good streak that he had going. And Mike Trout hit a home run. Luis Renjifo hit a home run. Really good day for the bats. They just came through. And it was really nice to have that get right game after the bullpen blows it. You don't even give them the opportunity to get close after something like that. You need to be able to put the game out of hand early and often. You need to be able to do that. And that was really good considering they were down after the third. Top of the third, they were down early, and you know, you're thinking, oh no, are we just gonna get blown out of the water? Because if memory serves correctly, the last time the Blue Jays came to town, that was the start of the losing streak last year. And I was kind of shuddering when I saw that the Blue Jays were coming, and I'm like, oh boy, is it gonna happen again? Please no, we cannot have this. But no, they ended up getting it together, and this was the get-right game we needed. Anthony Rendon returned. He had a very solid game, had an RBI groundout, and he also was getting outs and still getting runs scored. So he's had very productive outs over the last couple games. So that's really good to see. Renjifo's been productive. Renfro's hit the ball really hard over the last couple days. He's really hitting his stride, and he's going to be a huge force in that lineup. It's been a good series for him. We'll get more into him for the next game as well. But we do want to touch on the starting pitching, which was Tyler Anderson's first game in Angel Stadium, for the Angels at least. He went 4 2/3, allowed 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 Ks, 2 walks, and he allowed 3 home runs. Wasn't a good outing. You'll need to see him bounce back, but the bullpen really picked him up after that because they wouldn't allow a run for the rest of the game. So they really dialed it in. So that was good to see, have them have a bounce back game. Jaime Barria came in, went an inning. Then Tapera came in, went an inning. Loop went 1/3 of an inning. Quijada went 1, and Estevez closed it down. So really good bounce back game for the bullpen there. You needed to see that. But Matt Theis was catching, and that's not something I want to see often, but with the way Logan Ohapi's playing, you kind of need him there. And he seems like he's really been controlling the staff well. But Theis didn't have a horrific game. He didn't swing the bat horribly. He went 1-for-4, but his presence behind the plate is very different than Ohapi's. And even when Stassi comes back, I honestly still think trading Stassi is the play. That's my personal opinion, but you also have to account for veteran leadership and injuries if they may come. Like, if, God forbid, Ohapi gets hurt, well, now you're back to square one. So you'll have that void at the end of the lineup again, and you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be running out subpar players in a playoff hunt. So, it's also April, granted, but you're going for the playoffs and you don't want to be throwing away games because you can't get a major league caliber player to play the position. But that's something I wanted to touch on before we moved on to the last game of the series, which was an absolute barn burner. This was a wild game from start to finish. Just looking at this box score, it's just incredible. The Angels went up 6-0 in the fourth inning, and this is while I was driving up the Coke, which is noted as one of the most dangerous highways in Canada, and I can't confirm or deny if I was periodically checking the score. I'm going to say no. Don't check that, by the way. But yeah, this was just wild. And the Angels ended up blowing the lead in the sixth inning, but they ended up allowing 6 runs in the sixth and 4 runs in the seventh. What the hell happened? You were up 6 runs. Anytime you do that, you should win the game no matter what. A good team wins that game every time. I get you have mess ups, but a good team wins that every single time. But I will go through the scores now. But Anthony Rendon had an RBI single, scoring Ohtani in the first. Then Hunter Renfroe hits a home run, scoring Rendon. Really good start for the guys. Ohtani hits a home run to center. Trout scores. Bottom of the fourth, Ohapi hits a home run again. And then after that, the wheels just fell off. Matt Chapman hit a home run. It was a grand slam. Kevin Kiermaier, who is what I call the designated fielder, he decided to learn how to swing. So that's unfortunate because he ended up scoring Merrifield and Varsho. And in the seventh, Mr. Angel Killer himself, Matt Chapman again. How you doing? He scores scores one more, and Vladdy advances on that, and then Merrifield hits another one, Chapman to second, Vlad scores, the designated fielder again in the seventh, and he gets another RBI, and then the eighth, the Angels claw back with a Brandon Drury home run, and then in the bottom of the ninth, when everything's down to the wire, you got Anthony Rendon getting hit by a pitch. Ohtani to second. Ward to third. And Urshela scores. What a wild bottom of the ninth. You get a hit by pitch to bring the game close. And then Hunter Renfroe, one of the clutchest hits I've ever seen, was a double deep to left. And Brett Phillips advances. And Ohtani scores. And Ward scores to tie the game at 10. And then in the bottom of the... tie the game at 9. 10. I had it right the first time. I should trust myself. It was tied at 10. And Kevin Kiermaier again in the top of the 10th scores the Manfred runner. And then Springer scores Kiermaier right after that. And Trout with a bases loaded walk scores Drury. And then that's all you would get. So wild, wild offensive outpouring. And that's just incredible how that turned out. How do you not win that game, first of all? This was probably the game of the year if you were watching this, which I unfortunately wasn't able to actually watch. But that's just crazy. 12-11 and you lose. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow right there. But Reed Detmers started the game, and he didn't look great. He managed to battle to 5 innings, so I respect that. Getting the depth is important, too. It's not even always about how you did. It's about how far you get sometimes. And this was one of those games where the offense just decided to light it up. And he ended up leaving with a slash line of 5 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, 5 Ks, which is promising to have a average K per 9, 2 walks, unfortunately, and a home run. So not a great game for Mr. Detmers. He's still kind of getting stretched out, I think. I don't think he's fully to where he's used to being. Give him a little bit more time. He should be all right. But that'll wrap up the Blue Jays series. We ended up only taking 1 out of 3. They lose their first series of the year. You're not going to go undefeated, so you're not going to win every series. So you might as well just take your licks and move on. And this this was probably the most frustrating game, the opening game against the Nationals on Monday. This game just about gave me a migraine as I was watching it. Just why? Okay, I'm just going to get into the pitching on this one. We started with the bats last time. I'm going to start with the pitching here. And Jose Suarez, man, what are you doing? Just, I get all of the hits were just bloopers, but when you throw it middle, they're going to hit it. That's what professional hitters do. And Suarez is just not locating the pitches. He's just getting hit around. He's not doing well. Part of me is thinking that the pitch clock is throwing off his tempo, but part of me is also thinking this guy's not as reliable as an Anderson, a Detmers. Like, he's got the stuff to be a top-end pitcher or at least a number four. And he's currently in the number five role. But he ended up leaving with a line of 4 innings pitched, 10 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 Ks, a walk. And yeah, what has gone on with Suarez? He's a slow starter, I get that. But you don't want to give him too long of a leash. I think him in the bullpen and letting Davidson and Canning go, and we'll touch on Canning and Davidson as well, would probably be the preferred way to go, because Tucker looked good, sort of, in his appearance. He kind of had damage control, so it was kind of one of those games where you're still in a position to win, but it's not a game where the team has a lot of confidence, so even allowing a couple of runs, it feels like the game's over already, which is what happened. He ended up allowing 2 runs on 4 hits and in 3 innings. He did get 3 Ks, though, which is kind of nice to see that he's still able to get a couple strikeouts. But still, this was not a game where you wanted to use Tucker Davidson. And because he was supposed to be the starter on the day after's game, which ended up being Griffin Canning, who actually looked quite good, and we'll touch on him in a minute. But this, after Davidson left, they didn't allow a run for the next 2 innings, so Hergett and Moore shut it down, but it was already over by then. There was no confidence in this team right at this moment. They just kind of looked defeated. They hit Corbin, but after that, the Nationals bullpen just shut down the Angels' bats. Like, Renjifo scored in the first. He got an RBI in the first, and Renfro and Trout score. And in the bottom of the third, Renfro hits a home run in his back-to-back games. Back-to-back games. It ends up being back-to-back-to-back, spoiler alert. And Gio Urshela in the same inning hits a double, and Luis Renjifo scores. And that would be it for the run scoring for the boys. They end up losing this game 6-4. Everything is looking bleak. All hell is breaking loose on Twitter. Everyone thinks the sky is falling. And this was a very interesting game. But the game following it was a snap back to reality. And this was one of those games where you think, we're going to hammer the Nationals. This team isn't good. The Angels are supposed to be good. So we're going to go out and hammer them with runs. Well, that's not how baseball works. Sometimes you just need to do enough. And that's exactly what they did. They end up winning 2-0. Ohtani has an amazing start, going 7 innings, 1 hit, which was not a blooper, but it wasn't hard hit. It ended up being a double. And he had 6 Ks. Unfortunately, he had 5 walks, which is out of the ordinary for him. But doesn't allow a run. Could have gone out there for the 8th inning. I was a little bit surprised, but then I looked back and see how many pitches he had in his last start, and it was well over 100. So maybe don't do that back-to-back times. That's probably not smart. So good call on Nevin, I think. They're not sending him back out there for the eighth. Although it is nice to have one of those games where you can just know, okay, we got an eighth and ninth guy, and then boom, done. Game over. But that was a really well-pitched game. And Quijada came in, and I really like the role that he's been given so far. He's been getting a lot of high-leverage situations, and he's basically been a setup guy. He's kind of rotating with Hergit and Moore. I think Nevin's bullpen management so far this year has been questionable, but I think he's just trying to find out what is the perfect role. I think he did a good job of it in this series. I think we're going to see more of that going forward, and I so far like this, where he's got Quijada into Estevez. I'm so far a fan of that kind of back-to-back pairing. That's really nice to see. But onto the bats, who, like I said, just did enough. They only scored two runs. But in the fourth inning, Anthony Rendon, sac fly, in a position where we needed a run. It was looking like one of those games where, oh my God, we're going to blow it when Ohtani's out of the game. He's going to throw this gem, and the bullpen's going to allow a run at an inopportune time. We're going to lose 1-0 to the Nationals. Oh my God. But luckily in the fourth, Rendon clutches up, sacrifice fly, Taylor Ward scores, and then in the bottom of the sixth, my boy, the future rookie of the year, Logan Ohapi, hits his fourth home run of the year, leads the team in home runs and RBIs still. Just an amazing start for the season for Mr. Logan Ohapi. Now, I'm going to remain excited, as we all should be, about Ohapi, but I do have this thought in the back of my head that the rookie figured it out kind of period is going to come to an end soon when pitchers start realizing, he likes that pitch up. We're not going to throw it to him. And it's going to be up to Ohapi to adjust to that, which I have full faith that he will be able to adjust to it. But until that happens, we don't know what's going to happen. Because once the pitchers start realizing what he's hitting, which happens to everybody, and it's up to Ohapi to figure it out after that, I'm very curious to see how he adjusts when pitchers stop throwing him the pitches he can hit well. That'll be something to look out for in the future, but I didn't really want to put a damper on that too much, because he had a fantastic game. But we'll move on to the next game as well. There's not a ton of stuff to talk about in this one, and this was the rubber match. Griffin Canning started, and it was a very tight game. It was only a one-run difference the entire time. And in the third inning, the Angels got the lead. Mike Trout flies out to right and scores a run on a sac fly. And then in the fourth, this is where Canning really struggled. It was a long inning. He had a lot of pitches thrown, and it was very frustrating to watch. We were thinking, oh no, he's going to bring in Loop or something like that, and he's going to clean this mess up. What's going on? And then he gets out of the inning, only allows the two runs, and Canning came out and threw a fifth inning, which was just bang, 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 1-2-3, and looked really good. Now, Nevin, before the game, came out and said that Canning's going to throw around 90 to 100 pitches. He didn't get quite close to that, but since he went 5, I think that gave them the same kind of information that they were hoping. I think they were just looking for, can he get stretched out? Is he good to go? Is he fully ready for the MLB? And obviously they saw what they needed to see, which is promising. But this was the Brett Phillips show after that. He robbed a home run, or a long extra base hit. It's kind of debatable whether you think it was a home run or not. But Phillips ends up with a bases loaded walk in the fourth to tie it. Just one of the most happy-go-lucky people you've ever seen is just fired up in a 3-1 count with the bases loaded after that 3-1 pitch, or the 2-1 pitch that ended up being the 3-1 pitch. He's staring down the pitcher. Like, who does that? I loved seeing that. That was just so brilliant and such a Brett Phillips moment. I just had to touch on that. That's just funny. And then in the bottom of the sixth, Ohapi gets another RBI. Shocker. I feel like I say that every game now. But Brandon Drury scores, and then that would be it for the run scoring. It was only a 3-2 win, but we take wins. It wasn't pretty, but that's sometimes all you need. And this, the rest of the pitching staff did quite well today, especially limiting a bad team to two runs is always promising. And I'll read you Canning's stat line because I didn't do that yet. He went five innings with five hits, two earned runs allowed, four Ks. So a very, very solid outing. This isn't one of those games where you want to look at the stat line. You want to watch film. And watching this game, Canning looked like Canning of old. Now, I still hold that opinion of the fact that he needs separation on his pitches. His slider is always like right there with his fastball. It was actually like 6 or 7 miles per hour off of his fastball in this game. So that was a little bit more promising. But his changeups, typically like 89, 90, which I still think he needs something other than the curveball to change speeds, because his curveball is quite slow, but he does need some sort of like a changeup, but he just needs to slow it down without changing the arm speed. He needs to find a way to get that right. That's the one thing that I think Canning is missing from being a very effective pitcher. Like, he has very good stuff, and it was on display in this game. He had very good swing and miss. I think the fastball was up as well. And to come into this game after not pitching for a year and I believe 8 months and not walk anybody, even Gubiza said something on the broadcast, that is incredibly impressive to come out and do that. Very solid stuff from Canning. I think he has overtaken Suarez in the number five. I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to him and use Tucker or kind of flip-flop between the three of them, I guess, kind of rotate them in and out from the 5-6 spot and send one of them to the bullpen, kind of do something like that maybe. But we'll see what happens going forward, because we still have a lot of baseball left to play. And I think this is kind of one of those things where we want to wait and see before we set something in stone of how we're going to do it, because I feel like that sixth spot is going to be rotating quite a bit, especially if there's an injury down the road or whatever. But Matt Moore came in after Canning, had a scoreless inning, 1-2-3. Loop did the same. Tapera allowed a hit, and he got a strikeout, which is something Moore and Loop didn't do, but Tapera got the K. And Quijada got his second save of the year as well, which was really nice to see him in another high leverage spot. He's been really performing in those so far in the season, and I want to see more of that, because he seems like one of those guys where he just lets the pressure get to him, because, you know, it's the exact same way you can make diamonds, right? So maybe we found our diamond in the rough here with Jose Quijada as the closer. I am very much looking forward to seeing more of that. And I might as well touch on this to end everything off. The Angels are on their East Coast trip. They head into Boston on Friday, and that'll be right around the weekend. And then on Monday, they end the series, so it's a 4-game set. And then Tuesday, they're in New York for a couple of games, just three. And we will see Patrick Sandoval on the mound on Friday against Tanner Houck, who's pitched somewhat well. He does have a 4.5 ERA. Granted, that's early in the year, so I'm not reading too into that. But that's going to be a really good game. That's on at 4:10 on Friday, which I will be golfing around that time, so I probably will have the game on while I'm on the course. My membership kicks in, so I'm very excited for opening day. Hopefully I don't shoot like shit like last time. But that's neither here nor there. We will just assume that I shoot the lights out and set a course record. Who knows? Anyways, on Saturday, we have Tyler Anderson versus Nick Pivetta, who's got a 0.9 ERA. But Pivetta, I've always liked. Canadian boy. Love me some Nick Pivetta. But he's not going to get any love for me on Saturday, though. And that game's on at 1:10. And on Sunday, we have a very early game, 10:35 on the getaway game. Reed Detmers versus Garrett Whitlock. That's probably going to be one of the more interesting games. Both of these guys are young. They both have a lot of talent and a lot of upside, but both can get beat with the long ball. I think it's going to be a very fun game. That's going to be a real good game. I am so looking forward to that one. That's probably my most anticipated game. And then on Monday, there are no starters announced yet, and there are none for the Yankee series following it. But yeah, we're in for a good week. This is a very interesting test because the Red Sox may not be great, but they still have that kind of cachet as one of those teams that you need to beat, like to send a message, because they are still, they're a benchmark team. Let's put it that way, because you want to be able to beat a team that is known for being in contention for a majority of the time. This, historically at least, they're not going to be this year. At least I don't expect them to. I think they're probably going to be a bottom eight team in the league is probably fair. But that's still a team that you want to be able to at least split with. I would like to see them win the series. I'm going to expect them to win. They have the upper hand in the pitching matchup, I think. Although Masataka Yoshida has really been hitting the ball well, because he has been, I don't want to say carrying my fantasy team, but he has really helped. So shout out to him. He's been shooting up the Rookie of the Year rankings. So you'll see Ohapi versus Yoshida. So that'll be fun. And we will go into New York after that. And that's going to entail, as long as the starters line up, I would imagine we're going to see another Ohtani in New York start, which I am quite worried about, because the last two times he's pitched there, he has not looked good. I don't even think he's made it out of the first inning now that I think about it. But yeah, very exciting week ahead. Interesting weekend ahead. Hopefully you enjoy. Make sure to like wherever you can with a rating. 5 stars would be ideal. Help push it, the podcast and the algo. That would be much appreciated. Share with a friend or two. And follow the show on Spotify, Apple, or Anchor. And most importantly, go Halos.